So there were so many, there was so much back and forth. I know my affordability subgroup, we had this Excel going with the House version and the Senate version and anticipated changes and impact. So overall, and then I admittedly, I unplugged for a bit and I'm just coming to the final rollout. So as far as the big changes, I think the subsidized loans, which were in danger of for federal subsidized loans that cover interest while students are in school, the proposal in the House was to eliminate that, and luckily it survived. So there will still be the subsidized loan option for borrowing. So that was big. Pell grants were also on the chopping block in the House, and I did think that not only would the max be reduced, but I also thought that there would be a credit requirement. That's not the case. So for the most part, Pell grants will stay in the incarnation that they currently are, at least for now. I think the biggest, for students looking ahead to graduate borrowing, the biggest changes there will be the cap on graduate borrowing, which is going to be in aggregate $200,000 for your professional students, so med school, dental, law school, and with the average cost of med school being well north of $200,000 in some cases, that arguably could result in students just being unable to take that swing and result in some, maybe some shortages in some high need areas. So I think those were the big takeaways from the big beautiful bill as signed.
So for students who want to go to college or their parents helping them junior, senior year, what can they expect as far as the implementation of overall limitations on student borrowing and the tightening of the Pell Grant?
Absolutely. So as far as these going into effect with borrowing a year from now, after July 1st, 2026, so anyone before that, those you're going to be fine with the borrowing. The caps will come into effect for any borrowing subsequent to that July 1st, 2026. So for students going to college next year, they are not going to be affected in the near term, right? For seniors that just graduated and going to college next year. So it'll be borrowing after the fact. Borrowers, whether they're graduate or undergraduate, going forward, you're going to only have two repayment options. There was a variety before the big, beautiful bill was passed. And now it's going to come down to a standard repayment plan and what they're calling the RAF plan. So student loan, public service loan forgiveness still intact for now, but that might be likely to change too. You're just going to have the RAF, the repayment assistance plan, and the income-based repayment. So for those looking at long-term, you know, what the long-term effects of borrowing would be, look into the details on what those plans consist of and what they involve, and sort of add that to your calculations as you're crunching numbers.
And how could this affect the affordability of going to college for some of these students a few years from now?
I think it's going to have a significant impact on affordability. Not that we already aren't in sort of a landscape that at times just seems detached from reality with tuition increases seemingly every year. College is now cost of attendance, sticker price, if you will, almost at $100,000 at some schools. So more than ever, it really behooves parents and students to check out, ask themselves, why am I going somewhere? What am I willing to pay? What might be the return on investment? And do their due diligence comparing, you know, local options, community college options to private, and just ask yourself, bottom line, you know, what can we as a family afford, and project out not only your first year, but subsequent years to just really see what the bottom line borrowing might look like. And then let that guide your search. I think financial fit is arguably should be at the top of the priority list when looking for schools. Like anything else, just to educate parents, take advantage of the resources that are out there and make them part of the college search and selection process, and involve your kids in talking about college costs. I know as the parent of two daughters, that's we do that often. It's never too early to talk about saving for college and make them stakeholders in those conversations, so it doesn't just come and end up on their plate, you know, the summer before they're about to go. I think there's nothing more important than financial literacy when it comes to making these decisions, because it's arguably probably one of the biggest financial decisions that a student and a family will make.